You have the young George Adamski, who was a very, very Christian man, and he toiled, broke virgin land on the slopes of Mount Palomar with his own hands in a kind of prototypal hippie community during the Second World War, and grew his own vegetables, etc. I don't think you get many smooth imposters doing that kind of
thing. No.
Choosing that kind of horny-handed hard life, because life in Second World War on the slopes of Mount Palomar was not a lush. And he claimed that that he saw a flying saucer, a typical disc-shaped vehicle, land in a desert. He was with four other people, and he approached the vehicle, and he saw a being, a humanoid being, man looked like a man, and he, by sign language and by what he called telepathy, he communicated with the man who said he was a visitor from Venus. Now, you're not on a great meritocratic streak if you claim you've met a man from Venus.
No.
You bring down the whole world on his shoulders. And it's a very silly thing to do. But he did it. It would appear to be. But then, of course, you have the Bible. And if you made biblical claims now, you would be regarded as being equally as silly. I think that the major historical background there is the thing to bear in mind when you just say, oh, silly, stupid, insane, mentally ill, sick, and so on and so forth. Is there the Bible and the great books of the world are based on such things? And it's up to you to have a look at that in perspective. And he said that this was an advanced being, very, very sort of well-meaning and so on. He got the impression. And the being, he was later called Orthon by the editor of Adamski's books, because he had to have a name, as it were. He didn't introduce himself as Orthon. The vehicle took off. Orthon re-entered the vehicle. The vehicle took off. And there were four other witnesses to this. This is Adamski's story. It's called The Desert Contact. And there you are. And just one strand of this is true in the full and proper sense. Then we're living in a much bigger world than we have hitherto conceived.
Now, we didn't have television during those days, Colin, so what kind of publicity did he generate? I mean, did he get newspaper articles that were written about him?
Yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, indeed. He was a figure of very great interest. He was a very, very nice man. There's no hint of corruption of any kind, no sexual scandals. I think he got a bit confused as he got older. But then we all do, perhaps. But he wrote a book about this experience. The Flying Saucers Have Landed. What a wonderful roseate title that is.
Sure.
With a Britisher, Desmond Leslie. And the book was an immediate bestseller, a worldwide success, one of the best-selling books in the post-war period. And Adamski became very famous. He was invited to speak all over the place. And I did a world tour, with trumpets.
Did some people believe him?
Well, they did, yes. They did believe him, yeah. That's a fantastic story, yes. Well, this book is a classic. It's still being bought. And the Desmond Leslie part to it was part of it making a bestseller. What Desmond Leslie was a scholar. He had not had a UFO experience in the physical sense. Excuse me. He'd not had a physical experience, but he was a great scholar, and he wrote the first part of the book, which described UFOs throughout history. Christopher Columbus saw a UFO, for example. It was a light in the sky just before he made landfall. Alexander the Great saw one, and several other the famous people of history. And he wove these stories through history and showed that people were seeing UFOs in history and having contacts with elemental beings in one form or another in history. That was the first part of the book. The second part of the book was George Adamski's actual physical experience. So the structure of the book was very strong, because you've got this historical thing moving forward to the present day, and then joining George Adamski's experience for real. And it was a powerful basis for the book.
He also had some incredible photographs at a time where we didn't have computers to manipulate pictures.
This is one of the problems when you criticize George Adamski. Yeah, he took these photographs, and they've never been proved to be fake. They're the classic UFO photographs. I mean, even five-year-olds know what an Adamski scout ship looks like. They've been modeled a million and one times, you know, from very early science fiction films to Star Trek. They're an upturned saucer with a globe on the top. And this is the strange thing. Independent of Adamski, such forms have been described. You know, so Adamski was very early on with this. Now we're talking about the very early 50s. And so there you are, and you pay your money and you take your choice. There's very strong evidence that he had a very incredible experience.
What kind of a man did he die, Colin? Was he happy upon his death? Was he shunned? What happened upon his death?
He was not particularly happy. No, he wasn't. He started off, he was a very happy man as a youth. He was a very happy man and prosperous man and famous man, a man of achievement in his middle age. And here we have, then something happened. It's a kind of tale that Joseph Conrad would have dealt with in a story. The story itself of the desert contact with Orthon had to be expanded in his mind. So he, it's my opinion, I've written a book on this, so it's my opinion that he started to create episodes. Yeah, I think the original experience was real. That's my opinion. And then he started to extend the soap series.
Then he got carried away.
Which is psychologically very interesting. That, you know, the story was so thin.